November the 25th.
Morning, man. Y'all turn to Philippians chapter 3. Unless you've got something you want to talk about. If you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for the time we have here this morning to study your word, and we thank you for opening the door here for us to meet in this building, and we continue to pray for the business that meets here, that you meet their needs. And Father, we ask you this morning to especially be with those that are sick. We ask you to comfort these people and to be with them and to let them look to thee for guidance and understanding. Father, we thank you this morning that we can put our confidence in your word that you preserve for us, and we can believe you mean what you say. And Father, we ask you this morning, most of all, to give honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Time back, we've been studying about following the Apostle Paul, and I want to continue with that a little bit this morning and maybe do it a little different, that maybe we can see some things that may be puzzling to some of the friends and family members that we are around and stuff like that, people that we work with that are not as smart, or, if you let me use that terminology, as far as concerning what God's doing in this dispensation that we live in. I'm not talking about that we work around of fellowship with dummies. I'm talking about people that don't know the Word of God rightly divided. And to me, they're in ignorance of God's message that he has for us today. And you can watch the preachers on television and read their articles that they put out and understand that there's a lot of confusion out there about the Word of God. So, and it should not be that way. We have those that are saved, we have the Spirit of God that we can know the things of God. He told us we could know them. Now, with all that in mind, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so he is have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. These that walk contrary to following Paul, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, if I consider what Paul is telling me here to mark people, well, how do I mark them? I mark them by the Word of God, by what God told the Apostle Paul. Now, go to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Was something committed to the Apostle Paul? What was committed to Paul? This preaching, wasn't it? Well, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul had something committed to him. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, go to verse 10 with me. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Come over to verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, who was this preaching committed to? It's committed to the Apostle Paul. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Well, was it a commandment for Paul to be saved? Go to Galatians and look in Galatians chapter 1 with me. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me, that's the Apostle Paul, from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to do what? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, this would be after Acts chapter 9. Well, I tell you what, do hold your place there, and let's look at the first time Paul went to Jerusalem, because he's saying something here. After 3 years, he went up again to Jerusalem. Now, Acts chapter 9, this is where the Apostle Paul is saved. His name is Saul at this time, and his name will be changed from Saul to Paul. Now, in Acts chapter 9, look at verse, let's start in verse 23. Well, I apologize. Let's go to verse 22, so I'll show you where he's still at. In other words, when Paul got saved, he's on the road to Damascus. And he goes in and out of Damascus there with these disciples. In Acts 9, verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Well, Paul would have taken the Old Testament scriptures back here that was written about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his coming, who he would come to. He would be sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He would have a forerunner, which would be John the Baptist, would come 6 months before the Lord to prepare the way for the Lord. And according to Isaiah, he would have 12 men that God would give him to carry on a ministry after he's crucified and risen and gone back up to where God the Father is. So in Acts chapter 9, the Lord appeared to Paul and gave him a message, and Paul has written that message down to those who first trusted in Christ. And in Acts 18, the Lord appeared to Paul in the temple and gave him a further revelation for people such as us that are in the world now, that are not in the covenants of promise, and no way to get into those promises, because Israel has become Lo Amni, not God's people. You understand? Anybody got a question or comment? Don't understand. In other words, Paul took the Old Testament scriptures and he proved to the Jew and the Gentile that Jesus Christ had died for their sins according to the scriptures. But when you get over here, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 that he's the least of all saints, that God should give to him this grace that he should preach the unsearchable riches. These are searchable. These over here from Acts, I'm going to say Acts 28 just for clarity. because in Acts 28, Paul is still dealing with the Jew and the Gentile. We see that in Acts 28, verse 28. So after Acts 28, Paul has written letters to some people over here that are not in the covenants of promise. And when he told them he was going to people such as us, Paul became a prisoner for us Gentiles, you understand, that are not in the covenants of promise. And by that time, no way to... And you know, this is what just blows my mind, how some grace preachers can overlook this two groups of people here, when I know they were born after I was born, and when I was born, Israel was already low end now, so there wasn't a way for me to bless the seed of Abraham. God has already pronounced the prophecy of Hosea on them people. They are not God's people. You understand? Haggai just blows it out of the water, and he ain't by himself. Anybody that tries to tell you today that you got to bless the seed of Abraham to get blessings is wrong. They're wrong. I don't care who they are. It don't matter. Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, whatever they are, it don't matter. If they tell you that you got to go through Israel to get to God today, they are wrong. I know who my apostle is, and Paul told me to mark them which cause divisions. So I just marked a few of them for you. So you need to learn the truth so you can mark these people. Now, Acts chapter 9, verse 23. Paul's in Damascus in verse 22. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their lying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul, I'm saying this is 3 years later, you understand? Excuse me. This is before the 3 year period in Galatians chapter 1. Now watch what he says. Then, verse 25, then the disciples took him by night, led him down by the wall in a basket, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Then Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, declaring to them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And when he was with them, and he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. There's Paul in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Now go back to Galatians chapter 1. Paul in verse 17 is in Damascus, ain't he? Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. And he goes on and he tells you some things here now. Now verse chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after... After Acts 9:26, you understand? Then 14 years after. So I'm saying from Paul's salvation till he went back up here in Galatians chapter 2 is 17 years. A period of about 17 years there, you understand? Anybody got a comment? A problem? All right. Verse 1, Galatians 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And you know, you can't find Titus' name in the book of Acts. You don't find Titus' name in the book of Acts. But I know he's with him. How do I know he's with him? He just told me he was. You understand? Now, and I went up by revelation, communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Now, if Paul had got his message from the 12, why would he have to go up yonder to Jerusalem and after 17 years of preaching to Gentiles and Jews that Christ had died for their sins according to Scriptures, why would he have to go up in and communicate to them that gospel that he's preaching? You know why? It ain't the same gospel. The 12, listen, Jesus Christ did not preach that he was dying for men's sins. Now, he told them he was going to go up to Jerusalem and be killed, but he would be resurrected the third day. He told them that in Matthew 12 and other places. Now, watch what happens here. Verse 2, I went up by revelation, communicated unto them, the apostles that he went to, that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Now, what gospel is Paul preaching among the Gentiles? Go to Romans chapter 1. Now, let's look at something. I want you to see something. Are these Romans Gentiles? Yes, they are. Now, Paul has not seen these Romans when he writes this letter. Now, watch at what he says here. Verse 11, Romans 1, verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. Well, what is the only gift that will establish people?
The revelation of the mystery.
The gospel that Paul preached. Romans 16:25. Paul verifies this gift that he's talking about here. Now, watch what he says here to these Romans. That is, verse 12, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was left hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Well, I know he's writing a letter to Gentiles. You understand? Now watch what he says, verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Has Paul preached the gospel to these people at Rome yet?
No,
he's not. He just told you, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. Why? Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now go back to Galatians where we left from. Chapter 2. Verse 2. I went up by revelation, communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. What is Paul preaching to the Gentiles? That Christ died for their sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. He did not preach Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. He preached to me that Christ had died when he died at Calvary. He also died for my sins, although I'm not in the covenants of promise. You understand? No way to get to God. I'm out of the picture. I have no hope. No way to get to God. Why? Israel's gone. That's a difference. They're gone. Now, Galatians chapter 2. Go to verse... Paul goes up to Jerusalem to meet Peter and them. And we'll get to the context right here. Verse 6. But of those who seem to be somewhat, whosoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accept no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me, did Peter or any of them apostles add anything to Paul? Well, can any of these people that preach out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John add anything to you that know the Word of God rightly divided? Now listen, you heard how I said that know the Word of God rightly divided. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you don't know the Word of God rightly divided, these people that preaching out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and out of those who first trusted in Christ, they can add some things to you, but it won't be proper. You understand? Paul said, mark them. And he said, a man that is a brother, don't fool with him. Leave him alone. You'll find that in Philippians. Now, watch what Paul says here. This is very interesting to me. Might not be to you, but it is to me. Verse 7. But contrarywise. You know what the word contrary means? Opposite. It means just instead of going to the right, you're going to the left. You're going opposite. Now, contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and I suspect that James there would be the James that he said he saw there in chapter 1. James, the Lord's brother, because the apostle James had already been killed in Acts 12, you understand? So, and when James, Cephas, and that Cephas, that's Peter, you'll find that in John chapter 1, verse 42. Peter's called Cephas. And John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Did they make an agreement in the book of Acts? Chapter 15 is where this took place at. That Peter would go to the Jews, which is a reference to the circumcision. Paul would go to the uncircumcision, which is a reference to Gentiles. You understand? They made an agreement, and Paul went to the Gentiles. Go to Acts chapter 13. Now listen, did Paul say he added something to Peter and them?
Yes.
Didn't he? Mm-hmm. He said, contrarywise, when they saw the gospel, in other words, Paul added something to Peter. Let me show you one thing I know that he would have added to him. Go to Acts 13. Paul's a preaching. He's preaching Israel's history, preaching about the Lord coming to Israel, John the Baptist, baptizing the children of Israel. John the Baptist was not sent to baptize Gentiles. You couldn't get a Baptist preacher to believe that, save your soul, I bet. If you got up in the Baptist church and said, John is not the first Baptist, John was not sent to baptize Gentiles, they probably, you wouldn't get much more said. You'd be like, I forget who the president, there was a president over in Russia. I forget who it was right now, just lost my mind with him. In other words, he was giving a speech over there, and they got up and said, Comrade Kennedy, that's who it was, Kennedy. Said, Comrade Kennedy's sick. And he said, no, I'm not sick. He said, yeah, Comrade Kennedy's sick. They ushered him off the stage. You know why? He said things that they didn't like. So if you went in the Baptist church and told them that John the Baptist was not sent to baptize Gentiles or not to start the first Baptist church, they'd probably say, Comrade Peters, he's sick. Let's get him out of here. Do you know how you know John the Baptist was not sent to baptize Gentiles? Look at Acts chapter 13 while we're here. And Paul is preaching about Israel's history. Verse 22. And when he had removed him, that was King Saul that they asked in the book of Samuel for a king. And when he had removed him, he raised up them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. And I challenge you to go back in the Old Testament and read about the life of David. I challenge you to do that. And God at this time here said he's a man after mine own heart. You ought to study that life of that character like that. He wasn't a good man. No. He was a bad dude. Baptist church or Methodist church or somebody like that, they wouldn't want this John to be, this David to be their preacher, because he's a murderer, committed adultery, a liar. He's all sorts of bad things. Verse 23, of this man's seed, of the seed of David, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Was Jesus Christ sent to Israel? He just said he was. Now watch what he says. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of who?
Israel.
Who did John send to baptize? Israel. He wasn't sent to start the first Baptist church. He wasn't sent to baptize Gentiles. He was sent to baptize Jesus Christ. Do y'all know why Jesus Christ was baptized?
Fulfill the law.
Well, yes, there's two reasons why Jesus Christ was baptized. And I've got a tape, and I just listened to it recently, that somebody, this preacher, and I won't call his name, y'all know him, said that he asked his deacon brother in a Baptist church why Jesus Christ was baptized. Do you know what he said his deacon brother told him? Wash away his sins. Have mercy. If Jesus Christ had any sin, he can't be my Savior. He'd need a Savior like I'd need it. Well, why did John baptize Jesus? All right, let's see if we can find out. Take two passages. Take Matthew chapter 3 and John chapter 1. I doubt very seriously if you can find too many Baptist preachers that know this. See, God wants you to know His Word so you can be able to stand when the devil starts shooting darts at you. Because he will. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is he, talking about Jesus Christ now, that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying, this is John the Baptist that Isaiah is talking about. You'll find this in Isaiah chapter 40. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Talking about the Lord here now, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now he baptized the apostles in Acts 2 with the Holy Ghost. The fire will be over here at the second advent over here. That's the fiery baptism. There is no such thing as a Holy Ghost fire baptism to anybody that you've ever known, because you know what fire does? It'll burn you up. Now, come down to verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered, said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. What did he do? He baptized him. Now, verse 16, And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighted upon him. Now, John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Not sins, but sin. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me. We just read that in Matthew. For he was before me. I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Verse 33, And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Now, did John baptize Jesus Christ with water?
Yes.
Why? Wasn't to wash away his sins.
No.
Jesus Christ wasn't repenting of his sins. He had no sin. He knew no sin. You understand? Now, when he died at Calvary, God made him to be sin. He who knew no sin, reason that we, those that believed in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, that when he died for all of our sins, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But John baptized Jesus Christ to fulfill all righteousness of the law and to be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, you get the terminology in these churches. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You can't find Paul telling you that nowhere. Paul told you in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now go back to Acts 13, where we left from. I know why Jesus Christ was baptized. It was not to wash away his sins. He didn't have any sins. He had the blood of God in him, not the blood of Adam. And you know that's why Paul said in Romans, all in Adam shall die. In 1 Corinthians 15, in Adam shall all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. In other words, we were born after the similitude of Adam. Adam had blood poison. We were born with blood poison. That's why the get sick, first thing you want to do, draw some blood out of you, see what's wrong with you. They don't have to do that. I know what's wrong with us. It's called sin. Sins of sins. Now, and we all die because of Adam. Not because we're bad or good or anything. It's because of Adam. Now, in Acts chapter 13, verse 26, Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Well, what is the word of salvation that Paul has for these people? That Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. For time's sake, look over at verse 30. Well, Paul preaches to these people from here about the death of Christ and Christ being resurrected. Now, verse 38. This is what Peter would have had added to him by the Apostle Paul. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren. Well, who is he talking to? Verse 26, children of the stock of Abraham. Verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ the man, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Did Paul add something to Paul, to Peter?
Yeah.
Did Peter add anything to Paul?
No.
He said he did not. But Paul added some things to Peter. And when you see Peter writing 1st and 2nd Peter, you'll see a different attitude than you do in the book of Acts than Peter's writing. You understand? Peter didn't write Acts, but when he's talking in the book of Acts, Dr. Luke wrote Acts. But when Peter's talking in the book of Acts, you won't see him saying the same thing over there in Acts like he did over in 1st or 2nd Peter. You can see his attitude has changed why Christ had died. Peter didn't know why Christ had died until Paul added to him. And he just did it right here. Verse 38, be it known therefore unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Could Peter be justified by the law of Moses?
No.
Could he?
No.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Would you stand on the ground of that?
Yeah.
If somebody wanted to argue with you? Hold your place and go to Galatians chapter 2, where we left a few minutes ago there. Paul's dealing with Peter about an issue of circumcision, and you know what circumcision is? Keeping of the commandments of God. Paul told the Corinthians, he said circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision nothing but the keeping the commandments of God. Well, are the commandments of God taken out of the way for us? Were those who first trusted in Christ, were they under those commandments? Well, certainly they were. But not so with us in here. What commandment you going to keep did it get you into heaven? You keep all 10 of the so-called commandments and die and go to hell. You know that? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Did Peter believe that he had remission of sins in the book of Acts? Repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Did he repent and was baptized? What about you? Can you repent and be baptized and get remission of sins?
No.
You know why? God ain't dealing in remission anymore. God's dealing in forgiveness. Hold Galatians and go with me to Psalms 130. Go with me to Psalms 130. I believe that's it. Give me a minute. My mind ain't too good sometimes. Yes, Psalms 130. And I think I gave y'all some bad numbers last Sunday, but I'm going to correct it this coming Sunday because of some of the people that were here last Sunday that are not here. And you know, I don't know where some of these things come out of my little old brain. I don't know where I get them from. I can't read my notes a lot of the time. They look like something else. I'm told that my handwriting looks like chicken scratch. My wife's got a friend of hers that she grew up with and went to school with and graduated with. That lady's got the most beautiful handwriting of anybody I've ever seen in my life. If I could write half as good as she did, I ought to have been a doctor, because you can't read a doctor's writing. No. Anyway, Psalm 130. Verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Well, that's a good question. The psalmist knows that there ain't none good, no, not one. And if the Lord don't forgive our iniquities and trespasses, who can be saved? Nobody. Now watch what he says. Verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doeth wait. And in his word do I hope. Where is your hope at? in a NIV? No, you ain't got the Word of God. And you know I can't find hardly a preacher left on, and I don't get to see Brother Moore no more because he comes on at 10 o'clock on Sundays. But there's not a preacher that I know of on television that's using the King James anymore. Charles Stanley's quit. I don't know of any of them. There may be some that I don't know of, but the ones that I've been watching, they don't use the King James no more at all. Got a nephew going to a church, and I don't know what that thing is. It's kind of goofy. They don't use nothing like the King James. And he's in this thing, and he's using the King James, and he said, I get so confused, and... Y'all know who the author of confusion is, don't you?
Satan.
Satan's the author of confusion. Paul told us that in Corinthians. Satan is. God's not the author of confusion. God don't want you confused. God wants you to be smart. You know how I know that? Go hold Galatians and go with me to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, boy, I like this verse right here, verse 28. I fit the pattern real good. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not to bring to naught, which are not to bring to naught things that are reason, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Well, can anybody in the flesh glory in the presence of God? No. Go to Galatians chapter 6. You see, I know Paul added some things to Peter. Peter didn't add anything to Paul. Paul had nothing that he needed to get from Peter. And if you know the Word of God rightly divided, and you study Paul's epistles, Romans to Philemon, rightly divided, these people that teach out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they can't add nothing to you. You know why? There ain't nothing back there for you. You understand? Do you believe you need to repent and be baptized for remission of sins? And Jesus Christ died for all your sins? If you have to repent, you don't believe Jesus Christ died for them. You're believing in vain. You're a vain believer if you've got to still repent of sins. God can't see my sins. You know why? He sees the blood of His Son. He don't see the law. Now, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. In other words, I'm not born again, I'm a new creature in Christ. Go back to Galatians chapter 2 now. Now Paul is dealing with Peter and James and Cephas about this issue of circumcision now. Now, verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. You'll find that in Acts chapter 11. And where he went in, well, I tell you what, go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Let's see if I can find him. Let's see. Verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the Word of God. Now this would be those that Peter went to in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius and his house. He went in there and he preached to them, and he preached to them, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now, chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. And when Peter was come to up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it in order unto them. And he tells them that he saw this vision and was told to go to Cornelius' house and not to call anybody common or unclean that he had cleansed. So go back to Galatians chapter 2 now. So this is where you will find what he's talking about in Acts 2 verse 12. For before that certain came from James, he did eat Peter. He did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, now here's Paul's getting into the truth with him. Now he's a defender of the truth of the gospel. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? In other words, Peter's trying to get these Gentiles to get circumcised and live like the Jews, you understand? Now watch what Paul tells us, Jew, Peter here. We who are Jews by nature, that would be Paul, Barnabas, Peter, they are Jews by nature. We who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Can you keep a law to be justified? What law would you keep that God would justify you? There's not any. Did Paul add that to Peter?
Yes.
In Acts chapter 13, that's what he added to him. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now, go to Acts chapter 5. Peter preached and knew about remission of sins. But let me show you something in Acts chapter 5. Acts 5 verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, Peter and them have been put in jail for preaching in the name of Jesus. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. When does Peter believe that he'll get forgiveness of sins? Go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. See, Paul couldn't have added none of this to Peter couldn't have added none of this to Paul. You understand? Paul added some things to Peter. Did Peter know about forgiveness? Yes, he did. Did he know about present day forgiveness? No, he did not. You see, that's why in Romans chapter 5 verse 11, Paul said, we have now received the atonement. These Jews and Gentiles that trusted Christ, that Paul proved by the Old Testament scripture that when Christ died, he died for their sins. All their sins are took care of. The law is out of the way, nailed to the cross. So they can't, God can't see the law for the blood. The law was under the blood, same as back here. when they transgressed the law back here, there were certain blood sacrifices that they could bring for the year for their sin, and God wouldn't hold that transgression against them anymore. To God, there's plenty of mercies and forgiveness. Now, Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Peter's preaching. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Did Peter know that someday his sins may be blotted out?
Yeah.
He sure did. That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he, the Lord, shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God by the mouth of all of his holy prophets spake since the beginning of the world. Now, I know that Peter believed that his sins would be taken away at the second coming over here, and he would go back into Old Testament prophecy back here and see that when the fountain of blood would be opened to the house of Israel over here, those that endure to the end shall be saved. Matthew 24, that's what Jesus preached to them. Now, verse 22, Acts 3:22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets. Who is in the context here?
Jews.
The Jews. Children of the prophets. And of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now, go to Galatians chapter 3. You might as well go ahead and do it. I got time. Take Ephesians chapter 2. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's spiritual baptism. Ain't nothing to do with water. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Is Paul writing to some Gentiles that are heirs according to the promise being in Christ? Is he?
Yeah.
Now that ain't hard to believe, is it? I mean, we just read it. Anything hard about believing that? Well, just believe what you're fixing to read. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, not we, ye, the ones Paul's writing to, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, verse 12, that at that time of past, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Did Paul write to some Gentiles that had no hope, that were not in the covenants of promise, Now, we can believe Galatians chapter 3 that Paul wrote to some Gentiles that were in the covenant of promise, can't we? Didn't he say that? If you're Abraham's seed, then you're heirs according to the promise. Well, how come we can't believe that Paul wrote to some Gentiles that were not in the covenant of promise? Please tell me, grace preacher that don't believe that, please write to me and show me why Paul can't be believed. When Paul, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, said that you are not in the covenants of promise, you have no hope and without God in the world. Write to me and show me. If we're not in that group, show me who is in that group and who is going to go to them, and when are we going to go to those Gentiles that are not in the covenants of promise. When the rapture takes place, who goes out in the rapture? All the saved from Romans to Philemon, gone in the rapture. Well, where are these Gentiles that Paul wrote a letter to that are not in the covenants of promise? You can believe that he wrote a letter to some that are, but you just won't believe that God wrote to some that ain't. Now, that's hard-headedness. And I'm going to mark you. You understand? I'm going to mark them. They get mad at me, I don't care. They ain't mad at me. I didn't write it. All I did was read it. God wrote it. You understand? I don't understand these people that can't, they can believe Galatians, but they can't believe Ephesians, same writer. What's the difference? What's wrong? Paul said we all speak the same thing. Well, they ain't speaking the same thing. When you say they ain't, that we're all in the covenants of promise, you are not saying the same thing God Almighty said, and you got a problem, whoever you are. Anybody got a question? My time's up. I appreciate you putting up with me. Lord willing, see you next Sunday.